Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello there, and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be with you here for the next 30 minutes. I certainly hope you can stick around. I saved you a chair at my table, so I invite you to sit down, relax. Today on the program, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the message is this: what Jesus provides for us is more than enough. And I really like the fact that over the next few weeks, we're going to follow the story of Jesus feeding the people, the hungry people, providing for the needs of the people who can't provide for their own needs. Now, does that sound familiar? Exactly. That's what he does for us. And the gospel this week, and we're going to see this progress over the next few weeks, is taken from the sixth chapter of John's gospel. And what it does is lead into what is known as the bread of life discourse. So ultimately, the ultimate way that Jesus provides for us is through the Eucharist. And he gives us the grace that we need to survive, to stay close to him, and to reach our final destination of our home in heaven. But he does, you know, and this is the thing that I'm going to try to bring out. There are so many other ways. I mean, obviously, that is the most important thing he can do for us, because we need the grace that he gives in order to be able to reach our heavenly home. Because this world is it's a tricky place. We live in a fallen world. We have a fallen human nature. And we need what Jesus gives us in order to live the life that he expects us to live, right? But sometimes we get so focused on that, and again, that is the most important thing that he can provide for us. We get so focused on the spiritual benefits that Jesus provides that we sometimes lose sight of the fact that he can handle our temporal or our material needs as well. And it's funny, we get hung up and we get stressed out. I know I do. If I'm not careful, I can easily become overwhelmed by the day-to-day struggles, the things that have to get done, the things that I just don't have what it takes to get done. You know those things? Well, he can help us with that. And we're going to see an example of that in the gospel today, and we're going to look at all the readings from the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I'll tell you, this is good news. This is good news for us. And that's why they call the gospel the good news, right? Because it really is good news. And especially if you're struggling, if you're feeling weary today, this message is one that you need to hear. Jesus provides more than enough to meet your needs. He will. He will provide more than enough. So we'll be, rather than say any more about it, I want to pray, and then we'll talk about it after the prayer. So I would invite you to join me. I think this is the favorite part of the show, when I get to pray with you, when I get to turn to our Father in heaven. And yeah, you and me, we have the same Father in heaven. He's the same Father that Jesus has too. So you, me, Jesus, we're all related. Isn't that cool? So let's turn to our Father in heaven now. Would you join me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to turn to you in prayer. Father, thank you for adopting us as your sons, your daughters. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world to rescue us, to save us from our sins, to save us from anxiety, to save us from the burden of addiction and any other stress that we have in life. You didn't want to leave us fighting these battles alone. You wanted to send your son Jesus to redeem us. And we thank you for that, Father. We ask you, Father, to provide for all of our needs, both materially and spiritually. Father, we ask for the grace that we need to avoid committing sin today, to value your will above all else, to trust you more, especially when it doesn't appear to make sense. And Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Please give me the words so that I can deliver the message that you have for us today. And open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, more than enough. You know, that's the thing about Jesus. He doesn't just give us what we need. He provides for even more than we need. And I would say the reason for that is sometimes we don't know exactly how much we need, or we ask for less than we need. And I'm not talking about extravagant requests, about things that, you know, an excessive amount of money or material possessions. That's what we're talking about here. Especially when it comes to spiritual things, we often need so much more than we even realize. So let's chat about that today. Again, I want to welcome you to the show. My name is Gary Zimek. This is The Gary Zimek Show. We come to you each week for 30 minutes. And I am blessed to be able to share this message with you. Now, whether you're listening to the podcast, whether you're listening on one of the radio stations across the country who carries this show, I am so glad to have you as a listener. And I would just ask you to please let somebody else know about this program. If you enjoy it, let somebody else know about the program so that the word can get out. Word of mouth can be a powerful tool. One of the great ways we can evangelize is to share with somebody a book, a program that we listen to, a podcast, a TV show, some way to bring other people closer to Jesus. And, you know, I pray that this program does that for you. And if you do enjoy it, if it does bring you comfort, and if you do feel that it helps you grow closer to the Lord, I would greatly appreciate it if you would share the show with somebody else. Also, if you want to find more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can see excerpts of my television appearances, some of the talks that I've given in person, and also you can find out about all of my books. There is another book coming. I'm going to be telling you more in the next couple of weeks. The book is called Journey with God, and I'm excited about it. It's all about how do we go about knowing, loving, and serving God? You know, we know we're supposed to do these things, but how exactly do we do that? I've been asked that question a lot, and this is my attempt at trying to share what works for me, and I pray that it'll bless you as well. So more information on that is going to be forthcoming, but right now, if you want to find out about all of the work that I do, if you'd like to find out about my Monday through Friday podcast as well, Following the Truth, just go to followingthetruth.com. You can also find out how to invite me to your church, to your conference, so that I can speak, so that I could share a message. I still got a couple openings. I'm not sure how long they're going to last, but for Give Up Worry for Lent Parish Missions, just a few openings, and one of them is possibly going to be taken very soon. But if you're interested, contact me through the website, and we'll see what we can do, followingthetruth.com. All right. So the Mass readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we will first look at the Gospel, as I do each week. I like to point out, I always like to lead with the Gospel, as you've heard me say in the past, because it really does set the tone. We're going to go to John chapter 6. Now, this is a very important chapter. This chapter of John's Gospel, we won't read it this week, but it does contain what's known as the Bread of Life Discourse, which is a phenomenal message delivered by Jesus, explaining that he is the bread of life, and that through eating his body and drinking his blood, one can attain eternal life. It's a really, really powerful message, one that we as Catholics in the year 2021 might not have a problem with. But when this message was heard for the first time, this was absolutely radical. But anyway, in the next few weeks, we're going to set up the bread of life discourse. And let me just read this, John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. We'll talk about it, and it has to do with the fact that Jesus provides more than enough. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each one of them to have a little. I want to just stop it here and just sort of set this up. There are people that need to be fed. People need to be fed. The estimates are 5,000 men. Typically, that's what we think we're dealing with here. 5,000 men plus women and children. So maybe 10 to 12,000 people need to be fed. And Jesus asks a question. He saw the large crowd is coming to him. And he asked the question to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him because he knew what he was going to do, which was what Jesus would do sometime. He would ask these questions to test the people around him or to set up another point that he wants to make. And Philip says, 200 days wages worth of food isn't enough for them. And one of his disciples, so you see the negativity starting, or the short-sightedness. I think that's a better way to describe this. We don't have enough, never thinking that Jesus could provide what was needed. Don't we do this all the time, right? I'm never going to get through this. How can I ever deal with this problem? I got this cancer diagnosis. I can't handle this. How am I ever going to handle the fact that I got laid off from my job, that I can't find another job? What am I going to do? And then we have Andrew, one of the disciples, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Now, here we have a guy who's maybe starting to think in the right direction. Well, okay, let's inventory what we have. But then he looks at the 5 loaves and 2 fish and says, "Nah, that's not going to work." Again, not saying to Jesus, "Can you do something? Can you help?" Now, there was a great deal of grass in the place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. And again, the 5,000 men plus women and children, maybe we're talking about 10 to 12,000 people. Then Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. It was not time for Jesus to do what he ultimately was here to do, to die on the cross for us. It was not time. So, you know, he had to work with the people here, because the people were, they were impressed by these miracles. It got their attention, but he wanted to make sure that they didn't miss the point, because he still had other preaching to do. He had to suffer. He had to die. I mean, there was an agenda that he had to complete before his work on earth was over. But here's the thing. Look at what happened. There was not technically enough food to go around. Jesus got involved. And by performing a miracle, Jesus provided more than enough nourishment for all those people there. And again, remember, this just kind of sets up this whole Eucharistic discourse that's going to happen very shortly. You know, life is tough. And yeah, we have needs. We have all kinds of needs. And oftentimes we feel that we just do not have enough to get through another day. But this is where our Lord supplies anything that is lacking in our needs, in our provisions. We might not have enough on our own, but he's going to make up for what we lack. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. But we need to turn to him and ask for that help. Let's do the first reading now, and you'll see this theme begin to develop, continue to be developed. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" In other words, it's not enough. Does that sound familiar? So this first reading is really a foreshadowing of what we're going to see in the gospel. We see this happen a lot in the Old Testament. It's sort of a foreshadowing, or there's a symbolism here of something that will occur later in the New Testament. "How can I set this before 100 people?" the servant objected. Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over. And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said." And again, we see this miraculous, providential action on the part of the Lord to feed the people in a way that far exceeds their ability to feed themselves. You know, by myself, and again, we can look at this in so many different ways. By myself, I am not going to be able to survive this day, because everything that I need, both materially, the food that I eat, everything else that I need to stay alive, comes to me through God's provision. It might come to me because I'm working and earn money, you know, to buy what I need. There might be supermarkets I go to buy my food. I might go to a restaurant to eat. But ultimately, this provision comes from God. And I think it's critical that we recognize that, because otherwise we can forget, and we can think we're self-sufficient, but we're really not. And that's our material needs. But the Lord also provides for our spiritual needs, because the Christian life, we could never live the Christian life, the life that Jesus expects us to live, without his help. And that's where the Eucharist comes in. We need that spiritual food, okay? The responsorial psalm, again, continuing that theme. Psalm 145, "The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all of our needs." And, you know, this is something that is easy to forget. And it's also easy to lapse into this bad habit of worrying about the future, of worrying if we're going to survive this latest crisis, or what if a crisis develops? You know, we might not even have a crisis that exists in our life, and we might already be thinking that, well, what happens if something does pop up? I know I have a job now, and I know I'm financially secure, but what if I lose my job? That kind of thinking really goes against what Jesus taught us, most notably in the Sermon on the Mount, when he encourages us, when he encourages us to turn to our Heavenly Father to provide for our needs. But it also goes against so many of the lessons that we see throughout the Old Testament where God provided for his people. We look in the desert when the Israelites were escaping from slavery in Egypt and they lived in the desert. And they were fed by the manna given to them from God. You know, they were taken care of. And I think there, I really believe there's a sort of a lesson there for all of us. The Israelites received what they needed in the desert. Their needs were met. Their physical, their material needs were met, and they had the food that they needed, but they didn't like it. They complained about it. Isn't that funny? They liked being in slavery. They wanted to go back to being slaves because they could eat all they want. it's something that I think you and I, we sometimes think that same way. Yeah, the Lord's, following the Lord is a really good thing, but boy, I used to have more fun when I didn't have to follow and I could do what I want. But yet we were living under the slavery of sin. Maybe we had more possessions once we realized that we should be sharing what we have with others, or maybe living in a more modest way. Every now and then we'll wish we had more. But yet when we did that, we all, many of us have stories like that. We go back and we look at our past lives, and oftentimes what we were doing was just living for ourselves, maybe being selfish, maybe being greedy, maybe not even acknowledging God for all that he's done for us. You know, following, becoming a follower of Jesus requires sacrifice. And that can be challenging at times, because sacrifice can be tough, because we live in a culture that very much values material things. We love comfort. I like comfort, and I struggle with it sometimes. But I've learned that a life of following Christ and surrendering your life to Christ brings you a peace that that the world just can't offer. Sure, if we go out and spend some money on some sort of a guilty pleasure, we're going to feel good for a little while, but it doesn't last. And that's a lesson that I've been learning for many years. For many years, I didn't even want to learn that lesson. You know, if I'm having a bad day, I just want to go buy something or eat something or drink something, or, you know. But it doesn't last. It doesn't bring you lasting peace. And it's a lesson that's taken me many years to learn. And there are times when the Lord asks me to sacrifice and I still don't want to. There are still things I'm going to fight him on. Oh, Lord, you're not going to ask me to give up that, right? But ultimately, you know, he knows what's good for me. He knows what I need. Let's look at the second reading, Ephesians chapter 4, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord. So St. Paul is being held captive because of his faith right now. Urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call that you have received. Worthy of the call that you have received. So in other words, following Christ, we should live as followers of Christ, as Christians, we should live in a way worthy of that call to be a follower of Christ. And I just put this question out there. Are we? Are we? Are we setting an example for others? And I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just putting it out there. And I'm trying to process this myself, too. Are we willing to let Jesus supply all of our needs and maybe go without some material things sometimes? You know? In order to truly follow him and not be distracted by the many material distractions that we face or that we're tempted with in this life. But live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, the idea of unity in the body of Christ. Now, you know, we see a lot, and this is just my opinion, we see a lot of, lack of unity, not just within the Catholic Church, but certainly within all Christian denominations. And, you know, this is one of the things that I think should be a very, very high up on our prayer list. I try to pray for this every day, for unity among Christians so that we can all believe the same thing, because that's the way the Lord wants it. And Jesus did found a church in order to help us, to provide us what we need. And he provides for us through the sacraments. All of our spiritual needs are provided for through the sacraments. But sometimes that can be a little tricky. Because when I receive, for instance, the Eucharist, which I am able to receive, we're able to receive Holy Communion every day. Not everybody can get to daily Mass, I understand it, but we have the ability to receive this sacrament over and over again, in which the Lord provides for everything that we need to live the life of a Christian. But sometimes it's hard to see, and I receive Holy Communion, and I get grace, but I don't know exactly. Sometimes I can't see the effect of that grace. And that's where the faith comes in. To know that I need this. I need this. And Jesus does provide for all of my needs through all of the sacraments, but on a repeated basis, the sacrament of the Eucharist and confession. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But what I'll tell you as we bring this show to a close is, through the sacraments, the Lord does provide for all of our needs. He provides more than enough. So I recommend that we continue to take advantage of this great offering that he gives us of his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist and in all the sacraments, so that we can live the life that he expects us to live. And also remember that if you have material needs, make sure you pray for them too. And trust that our Father in heaven, just as Jesus promised, would provide for our material needs as well as our spiritual needs. Okay? And I've learned that sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes my Father in heaven doesn't think I need something that I think I need, you know, because sometimes my wants and my needs get confused. But I've learned that he is faithful and he does provide. Hey, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Don't forget to go to followingthetruth.com. If you're able to make a donation to my ministry to help me through the difficult summer period, I would greatly appreciate it. Again, you can do that securely online by going to followingthetruth.com. Thank you so much for listening to this show, and I look forward, God willing, to being back with you here next week on the Gary Zimak Show. Have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for joining me. God bless you.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.